Hello and welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Win Myun Kim.
I'm Lita Cho.
I'm Alex Lau.
And this week our S-Word is Stephen Colbert.
Korean pop star.
Very hot in Korea right now. Top 10, for sure.
All right, so let's
Behind Rain, though.
Rain.
This topic is separated for much later in the show. Let's go straight into the first question we usually like to ask. When was the first time you saw anything associated with Stephen Colbert?
Saturday Night Live's TV Funhouse, when he was a voice of the ambiguously gay duo.
He was.
A boy didn't even
know that.
I believe he was Ace.
He was A. I don't remember the names of the ambiguous gay duo.
There was A and G, Ace and Gary.
Oh.
And he was one of the voices on TV Funhouse. Actually, that's how I ran into Stephen Colbert for the first time. I got into The Daily Show late, so I mostly heard about him through, you know, TV Funhouse. He's in The Venture Brothers playing the stretchy guy who's totally not Reed Richards. He also is the one-eyed boss in Harvey Birdman.
Oh.
And that's where I ran into him first, in voice acting.
Nice. I didn't even know that he was in voice acting.
Well, he definitely does have a distinctive voice.
Definitely. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The thing is, the sad thing is that they can't bring him back to any of the Cartoon Network stuff. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
Why is that?
Busy.
Yeah.
He's busy. But when he brushed off Cartoon Network, he said it kind of rudely. He said something like, Mr. Colbert has neither the time nor the inclination to do a voice in your cartoons anymore.
Wow.
All right, so let's talk about this. When was the first time you saw The Daily Show? I mean, when I first saw The Daily Show, I don't think Stephen Colbert was...
Yeah,
I don't
he was.
Remember him.
Though. I remember him.
My first time seeing The Daily Show was back when Kilborn was the host. So it was Colbert. But yeah, I saw Colbert first on The Daily Show, and he was a correspondent there.
Yeah, that's where I saw him, too. And I remember, like, when he went to the Republican, like, convention. I love whenever he goes on, like, trips. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I think he went on the floor and was screaming, like, oh, my God, everything's so confused. I don't know. I forgot what it was about, but I remember being really hilarious.
What about you, Kevin?
He had this thing with Steve Carell.
He had a rivalry?
Steve and Steve.
Do they have a rivalry, or was it more of a partnership?
It was a rivalry.
Yeah, I never was watching The Daily Show during the Carell and Colbert days. I got into The Daily Show kind of late. By the time I had picked up on The Daily Show being awesome, Steve Carell was already on The Office, and he was already in 40-Year-Old Virgin, things like that. And Colbert was long gone, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw The Daily Show, the only person I really noticed was Steve Carell, and I was like, hey, this guy's really funny. I wonder if anything's going to happen to him.
Yeah,
and that worked out pretty well.
He's a loser. No.
I think it's funny that both Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell have sort of gotten this, you know, I feel like they have more fame than Jon Stewart.
Definitely. I feel the same way as well. Like, even his show does.
Colbert's show does better than The Daily Show?
Well, I heard the ratings.
I heard it does just about as well. Like, the lead-in is very good.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they have a handoff at the end of every Daily Show episode where they just...
about 2-3 times a week, yeah.
Well, it was only... Okay.
Yeah, not every episode.
It feels like every episode. But yeah, they do pretty well. The handoff is either funny or it's funny because they muff it.
Yeah,
and then they start
cracking up.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go into something more relevant to... Okay, let's go into something more recent. When Stephen Colbert... announced that he was going to run for president in 2008.
I didn't think it was.
And there was that whole million strong for Stephen Colbert on Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah, he did that in response to Obama's Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. He was almost really close to getting into the ballot for, like, North Carolina or
South Carolina.
And I was like, oh my God, like, I wonder if he'll actually make it to the primaries. This will be crazy. And South Carolina said no. And I was like, oh, that's such
a dream. But then again, you know, this is the kind of year where Stephen Colbert would be able to get on the ballot. I mean, Al Franken, did he win yet?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. So Al Franken in Minnesota. I mean, you had that movie Man of the Year with Robin Williams about basically Jon Stewart / Stephen Colbert accidentally getting on the ballot and winning.
Intentionally getting on the ballot and accidentally winning.
You're right.
And it actually, it's marketed to be close to that. It's not even close, really.
No? All right.
And it's a terrible movie.
Okay, then. And then you also had, you know, Stephen Colbert in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, that brief stint. I do have that issue as well of Amazing Spider-Man. I think it's 573, something like that.
Well, Colbert has been on the air since 2006, I think.
Yeah, that's
and nice. He's had a pretty long association for him with the Marvel Universe too. Joe Quesada came on and gave him Captain America's shield.
Really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He always has Captain America's shield on his set.
After Captain America, you know.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Someone died.
No, not permanently.
All right. So let's go into something else that I thought was pretty impressive. So I know that Jon Stewart, he released his book, America. And that was a pretty big deal when I was in college. I mean, I've even seen it on...
I never read it. I think I have. Well, I think I've seen, like, one picture where he had all the senators naked, and I was like, not for me.
What was that book again? Naked pictures of...
Supreme Court justices.
Supreme Court justices.
Oh, there we go. You know, Stephen Colbert released his own book, too, I'm America, and So Can You.
Yep.
Did that get better?
I finally finished reading that book this morning.
It's so funny.
It's so good.
It's so hilarious and so offensive and, like, ridiculously close-minded that it's hilarious.
Yes, yeah.
And I definitely, if you do get the chance to check it out, I mean, I think most places have it for about like $5 now. It's sort of just, it's made its rounds around. Yeah. And if you haven't read it yet, I think it's totally worth it. I mean, this from a person that barely reads at all and just a regular 200-page. I'm reading more nowadays.
Yeah, okay.
A quick 200 pages, you can be done in about 2 to 3 hours.
And also, there's a bunch of graphs and images.
Yeah.
And stickers. There's
and stickers. There's a page of stickers.
Well, the book came out when I was in Japan, so it was a little hard for me to get a copy of the paper version, but I listened to the audiobook, which is done by him.
Really?
And he was nominated for a Grammy for that audiobook as well. So it's a very good audiobook.
I should listen to that. That would be so much better. It seems like him talking when I read. I only read like a couple like pages, and each time I would laugh hysterically because.
Yeah.
How do they handle the footnotes in that?
They don't really.
Oh no, the footnotes are the best part.
No, there are. I haven't read the paper book, so I'm not sure what's in the footnotes.
I love when the footnotes have their own footnotes.
that's pretty common too when people are doing fake footnotes. If you've ever read Terry Pratchett, which I don't think you have.
Nope.
Yeah, he has footnotes that last like 5 pages sometimes. They just run along the bottom in their own little mini story, and then there's a footnote to those footnotes and.
I mean, now, what do you think about that book? Because I remember you were the one that introduced me to that book.
That book is... This is the funny thing, is that Stephen Colbert, his on-air persona, the one that he makes for himself, I find it hard to watch a lot of the time because it's so close to being real, being close to being, you know, what I actually would see on Fox News, that I just can't watch it. You know, it's just difficult for me to watch. For some reason, when I was reading it, it was so much easier to feel the parody going through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, probably you're more of the literature kind of guy.
So. Oh, what tipped you off? The English degree hanging on my wall?
Maybe.
Well, you know, I guess I don't watch a lot of Fox News, so I didn't really realize that that's what they actually do until, like, I watched the election and I was like, what the fuck? But I was like,
Way to censor yourself with laughter,
Leah. Yeah, sorry.
Fudge.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's Chinese.
What the fuh is actually our sponsor today. What the fuh? Selling fine Vietnamese noodles in San Francisco since 1962.
But I never thought that that's what, and I was thinking like earlier, like before, like I wonder if people think he's a real, like, you know, this is how he really thinks. And
yeah,
he's a
I remember
you were
asking me, do you think that there might be some guy out there that's reading this and thinking it's what Stephen Colbert really thinks and he's going to listen to what he says? Because I'm like, I'm sure there must be at least one.
Yeah, there's got to be at least one.
And then
that's
I thought,
scary.
Well, there's 300 million people in the United States. So there must be at least 1,000. Anyways, let's go into the last topic I want to go into before we go into our commercial break. I know, we have those now. Anyways, there's this Korean guy.
He's so sexy.
What was his name?
His name is Rain.
Of course.
Or B in Korean. He's really, I've seen him live and he could dance like
like a motherfucker serving fine Vietnamese noodles from San Jose, California.
I said San Francisco. Don't get us confused. Oh, actually, they are the chain now.
Stores.
Yeah, they are expanding.
They're expanding, yeah.
The one in San Francisco is much better, but there's not as much parking.
Okay. The whole thing of Rain was that he was supposed to be like this R&B like dancer who never got that like stupid eye surgery, but then he gets surgery everywhere on his face. So I was like, what the?
Oh, wait, okay. Actually, explain to our listeners the Korean eye surgery. So, what do they use? Do they use like a special needle?
They used to just cut an incision, but now they use laser. But anyways, every actor and every singer has to have that surgery. Like, it's like a requirement. And even most, and it's so common now in Korea that you could just totally just go in for really cheap and it's like $100 or something.
So it's this eyelid thing, right?
So
where you have to have
the
double eyelid?
Yeah, double eyelid.
Yeah, it gives you an epicanthic fold or something like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. To make your eyes less quote unquote slanty.
Yeah, Dom has it, apparently. Dom has the double eyelid.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Winmyun Kim doesn't know these things. Jimmy has plans. Okay.
Yeah, some people, I mean, like, most Asians are not born with it. So, like, to the Koreans, it's very important to get this. And every single actor and actress, actor and, like, singer or anything, anybody famous has to have it. And usually it's considered career advancement, especially for women. If they, like, it's supposed
so
to...
So it's like the boob job for wrestlers.
I think it's more like piercing your ears, right?
It kind of.
Because you just go to the mall, they'd stick the needle in your eye.
Well, it's
and
also,
then you'd have the fold.
It's so, yeah, it's like, usually, it's not like an ear piercing, it's like a graduation present, like, oh, you graduated,
so
go to Korea.
It's like a nose job then.
Yeah, I guess. In
oh,
LA.
Okay, I got you.
Purely cosmetic.
And so when Rain came out, he was supposed to be this guy who never had the surgery. He's supposed to be all natural and like, you know, I'm making a statement about like, you know,
the
society.
Organic pop star.
Yeah, I know.
All natural Korean enhancements.
And then you hear. Yeah. And
I heard they made his nose longer.
And then he became really, really famous because of it. Like, I mean, it was also his singing and dancing, but he also became really, it stood him out because he didn't have that surgery. But then like, then you hear rumors about, oh, he got surgery everywhere else, like his face.
So everywhere else?
Like nose, mouth, I don't know.
Taint?
Yeah, taint. Anyways.
They're getting really good with those needles nowadays.
Stop! I really shouldn't have brought this up.
You brought that upon yourself.
All right, going back to our subject
Stephen Colbert and Rain have a rivalry.
Had a rivalry. They settled it on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah, so what happened was Time Magazine had online poll for the most influential people in the world.
But it was user-based, right?
Yeah, so people would be able to vote for their whoever they thought was the most influential.
And they were tied, right?
No.
Right.
Rain came in first.
And you know why that was? There's a fan club that just spammed the website.
Well,
and just voted.
Guess
why? Kind of like how Yao Ming wins the vote in the NBA All-Star game.
Anyway, so the thing is that Stephen Colbert probably got second for the same reason. So
yes.
Oh, really?
So Stephen Colbert finished second in that time poll. So he mentioned it on air, and he said,
"Vote for me."
No, he didn't. It was too late.
He didn't actually say vote for me, but people voted for him anyway.
No. There was an episode where the polls were still going on.
Oh,
he
okay.
actually said, "He is beating me, America. If you vote for me, because I'm the most important person in the world." I totally remember that episode. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know that he did a different thing about this bridge in Hungary. that they were looking for a name for it, and he actually won that vote.
Did he want the space boat too? The name of space piece after him? Like, basically they're sending up a new,
satellite?
Not a satellite.
A space piece?
Some sort of space piece.
What kind of piece?
and there were
space taint needle.
Yes, yeah, space
like
taint.
In Seattle.
I don't know what it was. It was a space piece and NASA had a poll saying, name this piece for us. They have suggestions or enter your own. And the top, you know, name entered was Colbert. And he advertised that too.
Okay, so Sung just informed us that it's to name a piece of the
I went and
space
voted.
Station.
And this part of the space station was not, in fact, the space taint needle.
So we hear.
That they're going to inject into the sun to
Stop.
Save us all.
Yeah, anyway.
So, I mean, this rivalry with Rain went on for what? Maybe like a year, 2 years? Until they finally settled it on the DDR machine. Is that correct?
Well,
they actually brought him over, right?
Yeah, Rain, the second year, they had the same Time Bowl. Magazine online poll.
And Rain won again.
Rain won again. He said he
invited it. Like,
he called Rain out, says, let's have it out here on my show. And then Rain... showed up.
Well, he showed up when the...
Oh, yeah, he showed up in a separate segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rain also called him out, saying, like, wait, the first Stephen Colbert said that he could match Rain, and he made a Korean music video.
It was awesome.
Called Singing in Korean.
It was great.
That
it
was awesome.
How is this Korean, by the way? Bad?
Very bad. I couldn't understand anything. I was like, what? I couldn't understand certain parts, but like certain words. But other than that, I needed the subtitles. Like, oh, what is he saying?
All right, just checking. So yeah. Was,
yeah. But yeah, and then Ray made a video on Time or something to say like, you know, your video's pretty good, but don't quit your day job.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yes.
And then so they eventually had it out on the dance floor. And Rain won, right?
Yeah, he totally won.
They set the building on fire with dance, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And the thing is, it was weird because Stephen Colbert would say things like, you know, bring it out. Oh my God, he might be coming here.
All right, so that any other thoughts on Rain before we go to a commercial break?
Well, let's tease for after the commercial break. And we're going to start talking about how when Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert had another rivalry with Conan O'Brien.
Wow. Yeah. Was it a real one or was it?
Well, as real as things get on late night TV.
Okay.
Yeah. As real as things get on, the Conan O'Brien show.
All right. So we're going to take a little break here and we'll be back really soon.
S Words Podcast, brought to you by What the Fa, serving you the best noodles in Saratoga since 1965.
And
what are they like moving around?
And what about What the Mother Fa?
Well, the Mother Fa is a mobile cart. It's a mobile truck and it drives around the Bay Area. So you have to join their club and the What the Fa Twitter tells you where the noodle truck is going to be any given day.
So definitely track the What the Fa mobile truck at twitter.com/
What the Fa.
I'm bored.
Me too.
Why don't you go to What the Fa mobile truck driving around San Francisco, bringing you the freshest and most delicious Vietnamese noodles this side of the Mississippi River, the Mekong River, and any other river you can think of, because we have the best pho in the world. Follow us on twitter.com/whatthepho. Remember, spelled like pho,
taste like pho.
And we're back. So we're coming back to the S Words podcast. We are listening to the Stephen Colbert episode. Let's go into something that just came up recently. The Monsters vs. Aliens movie, the DreamWorks movie. We've seen it. Some of us have seen it. Stephen Colbert has a quick voice portion in that movie. I was kind of disappointed that there was very little for him to actually do.
I was disappointed that the writing for most of his lines was pretty bad.
I agree.
It almost felt, I wish that he got to write his own lines or at least ad-lib it.
Exactly.
It just felt so cheesy for him. It didn't feel like quick and offensive like I'm used to.
Yeah, he should have been, I don't think the kids movie could be offensive. But
you can stick offensive things in without being obvious.
I guess so, that's true. I think he would have been really clever with the writing, more so than what the lines they gave him.
Stephen Colbert is a great writer.
I agree.
I mean, he nearly killed himself writing I Am America and So Can You, didn't he?
He recorded it over a weekend, I hear.
And he wrote all of it just after work.
Like, constantly? Like, all night long?
He was pulling some all-nighters with his writing staff on that book, yeah.
Wow. Wait, so it wasn't just him who wrote it, his writing staff helped as well?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So anyway, we were going to be talking about Monsters vs. Aliens. Yeah, Monsters vs. Aliens is your archetypal DreamWorks movie.
DreamWorks Animation,
sorry.
Well, I don't know, like, they were going in the right track with Kung Fu Panda, and then they came up with this movie. I was like...
Everything is done in parallel, so it's not like one is a response to the other. I'm just kind of disappointed by... They kind of hit a really high point and then went kind of back down towards...
And they put, too many, Like a lot of jokes that were getting tiresome or sometimes random.
Okay, yeah, so spoiler. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
There's a joke about a DDR pad in the movie, and I thought to myself, wow, this is not even relevant now.
Yeah.
It would have been
Welcome
funny
to 2001.
5 to 10 years ago, and even then, it would be stale right now.
And then they pulled in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's relatable to the subject
really
material.
Relatable
I was like,
subject.
Why did you pick to play Axel Foley's theme?
I didn't think I picked any things. Theme, and it would have been fine.
No.
No.
Okay, well
but at least that was kind of funny in a what the fuck kind of way.
What the fuck, yeah.
I'm really hungry for some Vietnamese noodles.
What the fuck? I'm bringing you fine Vietnamese noodles since 1967.
All right, so let's go into this rivalry that let's move on from Monsters.
Yeah, okay.
There's not really that much to talk about there.
Yeah, that movie.
I was
just
originally
too
thinking there was going to be, which is why we scheduled the Stephen Colbert episode around now. But
it was disappointing. We'll move on. We'll live.
So the big thing that I know you wanted to talk about was this rivalry between Conan O'Brien and Stephen Colbert
Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart
and
had
Jon
his
Stewart.
Back.
So yeah. let's go into some background here. Can you explain to listeners in case they don't know? I'm actually starting to just recall what you're talking about.
Well,
now.
You see, back in the heady days of 2008, Kevin, there was a writer's strike in Hollywood. And the writer's strike, they still had to keep making the show, but they just had no material, really.
Yeah, they couldn't write it down.
They weren't allowed to write it down because, you know, that would be violating the terms of the strike.
Yeah, because Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, and Conan O'Brien, they're all actually members of the Writers Guild as well.
Remember,
so they weren't allowed to actually write their own stuff.
Remember that Conan O'Brien got his start as a writer for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So does that mean that they could talk about their ideas, but they had to memorize it?
Pretty much. They couldn't even write
ad lib.
They could not write it on a napkin. So anyway,
wow.
They had to figure out something to do.
Yeah, they had to kill. They had a lot of time to kill.
Like 15 minutes of everything before the interview, basically. Before the interview, they had to just make up stuff.
Yeah. So what happened was earlier in the year, Stephen Colbert had the presidential candidate Mike Huckabee on, and he took credit for Huckabee's success. And then
Conan O'Brien said that he'd had Mike Huckabee on earlier, right? Or gave him a bigger bump. Which one was it? Or is it both?
I don't remember.
But anyway, so basically they said that my late night television penis is bigger than your late night television penis.
Yeah, and then Jon Stewart came on and he showed a clip of him back on when Jon Stewart was on MTV back in the early 90s. They were Jon Stewart and Conan O'Brien were on. And they were both wearing the big early 90s hair and wearing leather jackets. It was a really ugly looking clip. But he said that I am responsible for Conan O'Brien's success and therefore by the transitive property is responsible for Mike Huckabee's success.
Oh my God.
And so they went back and forth on this for weeks.
Yeah.
Because they had nothing else to talk about.
Right.
And so, you know, when you have nothing else to talk about, you insult someone, right? Kevin? You're so fat. You're such a fatty fat.
It's that freaking mobile fun truck.
It's so good.
I'm hungry now.
Good, because I have a chicken in the oven. All right, so anyway, they had it out. They just were shouting back and forth and just making stuff up to kill 15 minutes on each show before, you know, the guest would come on. And so...
So finally, they just brought it all down. On Conan's show. And they had this ballet-like, John Woo-like fight sequence.
They started out with a Bruce Lee, like, you know, the Bruce Lee, the strut, the hop. And then it suddenly turned into the robot, I think, didn't it?
Or like, yeah,
no, the running man.
All kinds of different
Were there doves?
Styles.
If there's no doves, it's not John Woo.
They were throwing each other into boxes. And by the way, this is awesome because it was awesome in an extra way, because Conan O'Brien is a good, like, foot taller than most other people in Hollywood.
Yeah, seriously.
Except I think Jon Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Jon Stewart's pretty tall, too,
is
right?
He?
No. He's not that tall.
He's not Conan tall.
He's not 6'5 or something crazy like that with hair.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was just really funny looking. And you can probably find this on YouTube still, where they had their big
fight
scene.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's where I first saw it.
So. Yeah. And so, you know, and then finally the writers went off of strike and they signed a new contract and...
We never heard of it.
We never heard of it again because they're like, oh, thank goodness, we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah. But it was great when it happened.
It was pretty great.
So I got to ask you guys, and especially since we're talking about this particular subject, I think that series of episodes was actually quite popular during the time that it ran, especially since nobody else was writing television. Let's talk about what were your favorite, I guess, either episodes or stories that happened on the Stephen Colbert show, or if you really want to claim on the Daily Show as well. I mean, would that be considered your favorite?
Can I just start? I guess my favorite moment was when Rush came on after 30, like 30 years.
Oh, and he had them play a rock band, right?
Yes. And failing.
Yes. Because they actually know the songs.
Yes.
That's not how we play.
Yeah.
And I like how, like, his director, Jimmy, would, like, just shut him off and, like, would rush on the TV screen. And he'd be like, yeah. What are you doing? No, it's my show. Play my anthem. I'm like, oh my God.
That's actually one of the few Stephen Colbert shows that I really remember very, very well. Yeah. And I actually went to see it mainly because I wanted to see Rush. But
me too.
My favorite Stephen Colbert moments are the ones where he actually breaks character because something just ambushes him. So it happens a lot in the Daily Show handoff where they try and do this really cheesy handoff and then they just stop and they just break out laughing because it's so stupid. But the best one was when he was talking about celebrity pairings and how you name those. So, you know, Bennifer or what's Brad and Brangelina, right?
Brangelina, right.
And he talked about Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy, and he called them Philium H. Muffman. Like, so you can talk about, you know, what is it? The book by Brangelina was like Love by Brangelina or something like that.
Something like
it's
that.
Like, or you can write about the splendiferous Zeppelin adventures of Philium H. Muffman. And he just at the silliness of the things that he just says, he just breaks out laughing.
Yeah, he just cracked.
He just cracked. And he was like biting his arm to keep from just totally busting out. And he was saying, it's like, note to self, start reading the scripts in advance. And so just those moments where he, you know, breaks through the very well crafted facade of being a conservative talk show host. Those are the great moments.
Yeah, he does. His character's really well crafted. I believe him sometimes when he was.
So Alex,
I got a couple of favorite moments. One of them was actually the bit where he really probably broke out into the mainstream-ish. It was when he hosted the presidential press corps dinner, and actually got to do his routine in front of President Bush and Dick Cheney and the entire Washington press corps. And he just ripped into them.
Oh yeah.
And he did his whole routine and the room was real quiet. But people who were there were like, wow, is he bombing? But it was really funny.
Yeah. The amount of cojones it takes to do that in front of the president and just rip into him and the entire press corps and the entire, you know, White House staff. That is balls.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things he talks about him having. He has these gigantic balls. The other thing that, he has this, segment called Better Know a District, and he has interviewed various congresspeople and senators from all around the country, and the two things that I remember the most was one, early on in this show, he interviewed Barney Frank, who is an openly gay congressman from Massachusetts. He just went crazy interviewing him. He would follow, he followed Barney Frank around walking in silly walks. It was all over the place.
Nice.
And another one, he interviewed a Republican Georgian congressman. Somehow he got this guy to repeat after him.
What?
What?
Note to congressman, don't do that. But he got this guy to repeat after him, I'm a Georgia peach. And so he got some crazy stuff out of these congressmen that he interviewed for his Better Know a District segment.
That's cool. Has he done the green screen challenge to more people than just John McCain? Because that was awesome when John McCain did a speech in front of a green screen, and so they just started inserting him into movies.
Yeah, the first green screen challenge was when he was going to do a segment on Star Wars and talk to George Lucas. So he filmed a segment of him waving a lightsaber around in front of a green screen. And then he challenged people to come up with something that made it look cool. You can see the results probably on YouTube or on his ColbertNation.com website.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of that stuff came out pretty well.
Yeah. All right, Leah, anything that you have?
Well, we pretty much share the same thing. It was the Rush episode.
Oh, okay. And the rain bit.
And the rain bit was good. Awesome.
I would just like to clarify that Rush only failed that song because Neil Peart was bringing the drums closer to him, and during that portion he was not drumming, which is why they failed. Not because they can't play it in a simplified form for them.
That's cool.
Rush head. No, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. I guess another, I'm trying to think of another moment. I think that I love all the segments. Like, I especially love the word when he's like talking something crazy in the subtitles.
Oh yeah,
the subtitles.
But I thought you told me the word is gone now, right?
Well, they changed the bit. It's not gone.
It's not every single episode.
It's not every episode now. But yeah, it's basically like the footnotes in his book.
Exactly, it is.
Speaking of word, there's a word that shows up during the opening. The word has changed to things like Mega American and Freem, which is F-R-E-E-M. It's freedom without the do, because I do everything for you.
Oh, wow.
One time he was talking about how he wanted to have a hot dog with President Bush because he kept showing footage of President Bush eating hot dogs with other people and not him. So he changed that word in the beginning to President Bush, please have a hot dog with me.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome.
All right. So
any other thoughts on Stephen Colbert?
I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
All right.
Too.
So we're going to go into a little break, and we're going to come back to you guys with something you've been waiting for, I bet. The scraps segment, in which we are going to roll a dice and choose a topic at random. We get 5 minutes to talk about as much as we can about it, even if we know nothing about it.
All right.
Stay around for that.
A word from our sponsor.
Man, I'm hungry, but I don't want to go to the food. I want it to come to me.
Hey, what's that truck outside?
Ah! Mobile Pho!
Wow, I love Mobile Pho. Delivered to your door.
They're Vietnamese noodles.
And remember, spelled like pho,
tastes like pho.
Follow us on twitter.com/whatthepho.
I love you, what the pho. I love you too.
All right, we're back, and we're going into the scrap segment. This is going to be the first time we're ever going to try it, so let's see what happens with it. So I have the dice ready. We have 21 things in the scraps bucket. Rolling it right now, it's rolled a 15. So number 15 in the scraps bucket is the Smurfs.
Wow,
all right, 5 minutes for the Smurfs. It is 6:19 right now. We have 5 minutes. Go ahead. That's all you know about them?
I remember seeing a flash where the Smurfs were doing inappropriate things.
I thought the Smurfs were always associated with doing inappropriate things because they're blue all the time and there's only one chick.
Well, here's the funny thing is that apparently the guy who voiced Gargamel invented the artificial heart. You can look this up.
Oh. I have to tell you, I was just about to say, what's the name of the villain? Because when I grew up as a kid, the first time I ever had caramel popcorn.
You thought it was Gargamel?
Second. So my mom got the microwave one. I've never seen microwave caramel flavored popcorn before. So my mom was like, oh, it's caramel. And I thought, wait, is the guy in Smurfs named Caramel? Because like, I thought he was named something else, but this is called Caramel. For the longest time in my life, until I think post college, I thought that guy's name was Caramel.
Nice. You know what the funny thing is that my sister keeps text messaging me when she's drunk with random questions. And so the latest one was, is Gargamel a made-up name? Because she always has these questions when she's drunk. And, of course, since I'm a trivia guy, she always asks me, you know, the question before that was, which has more black coaches, the NBA or the NFL? It's the NBA, by the way. But anyway, and so she, for some reason, decided from Chicago to call me and go, hey, is Gargamel a made-up name? I hope it is. Because if anybody grew up with the name Gargamel, they got beat up.
What was the name of his cat? He had a cat, right?
I don't remember the name of his cat.
Oh, was it the thing that popped in my head about the Smurfs? They are originally French.
Yes, they are.
What? Really?
They're French.
Do they just dub it over here, or do they have a different series, or what?
They're originally
a French comic, right?
A comic, yeah. They came from a French comic. The animated series is American, but the origin of the species is a French comic.
It's kind of like Asterix and Obelix, who are originally French, but most of the stuff that you know of Asterix and Obelix is the British cartoon, I think.
Yeah.
Really? No, I only know them as a comic.
Oh, you only know them as a comic? Okay.
Which comic?
Asterix and Obelix.
Oh, okay.
They're also a really, really weird French movie. But then again, that's most French movies.
I didn't know they even had an animated series.
They had animated movies.
All right. Well,
anyway,
the only thing I can think about the Smurfs is that wasn't there the knockoff for the Smurfs, the Snorks?
I don't remember. What I remember is that there was this, one of the first things I ever found on the internet was this entire manifesto about how Papa Smurf is a communist.
Oh, because he wears the red hat and the red father.
He probably is, actually, because they're from France, right?
So, I mean, I don't remember much else about Smurfs. I mean, like, there was one like Brainy Smurf.
Papa Smurf, Smurfette, who was an artificial Smurf.
What?
Created by Gargamel to, like, lure them to their dooms.
Oh, is that why she's the only female?
Yeah.
Wait, why is there only female?
That is screwed up.
Because Gargamel created her. And then somewhere out of nowhere, they had Smurf kids.
Yeah.
There are Smurf kids?
There were the four little Smurf kids, and so they
was their mom?
That's a good question.
They just came to be.
Yeah.
I see.
They were delivered by the stork.
Oh my god.
That could be an S word.
Storks? Really?
No, it couldn't be.
I don't even know if we can do 5 minutes on Storks.
We can't even do this 5 minutes. Are we close to 5 minutes on Smurfs yet?
That's your entire episode on Storks. And that's your entire episode on Smurfs.
All right.
Let's roll the dice one more time and see what comes out.
Should we do three?
What do we get?
The answer is?
Soccer.
Soccer.
Soccer. All
Korean
right.
Korean sucks at soccer. I'm sorry. I don't know why they like you so much. I'm just kidding.
The rest of the world calls it football.
Yeah.
Except in Japan.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Japan calls it soccer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
But they don't have, I guess they.
They don't have football.
No, they do. I was in Japan one time. It was 3 a.m. in the morning and I was flipping channels and I did get to see an American football game played by Japanese people. It was in a tiny stadium, and there was no one in the seats except for, like, I think a few moms or something.
Yeah, they had, like, an X-League or something like that. But, yeah, they're it's not very popular in Japan. Soccer, it's really popular in Japan. It's really popular everywhere in the world except the United States.
Yeah. I ended up watching soccer a lot when I was in Mexico. It was pretty much all that was on TV, other than the Shaw Brothers, actually, which is funny as heck. I worked for a German company for a while, and so during the World Cup, work would cease whenever, say, Germany or Austria or, you know, various countries. Yeah, one of the German-speaking countries was playing because no one would be doing anything. They would all be watching the World Cup.
Wow.
And I actually kind of got into it. When I was watching Euro last year, I really got into watching Turkey because I'm so American.
You're such an American.
They kept joking at me. It's like, man, you don't even know what Turkey is about. You're just rooting for them because they're an underdog. I'm like, yeah, and it's a very American thing to root for the underdog.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's also not the case in other parts of the world, but it is in America.
And also it's an American thing to only watch things that America is good at, which is why soccer is not very popular in America.
Well that's logical.
The product is lame.
It started getting popular among kids after the 1984 Olympics and then the World Cup that was hosted in the United States. But it's never really caught on as a major league sport because the soccer that's played here in the major league level is actually kind of crappy.
It's Bush League compared to what goes on in Spain, Britain,
Italy, Brazil, yeah.
But I heard like when you're kids, usually people start you off as soccer as your first sport.
Yeah, for AYSO. Well, is that a product of the whole 1984 soccer craze?
Also, it's because it's the cheapest sport to send your kid to.
You need shoes and a ball. And if you don't have a goal, some parents can stand over there and be the goal.
I mean, compare it to, say, baseball where you need a bat, a helmet,
And a special field.
For football, you need pads, a helmet, like medical clearance.
And basketball is pretty cheap.
Basketball is relatively cheap, but you do need the court. And it's not just like big grass fields.
Yeah, you can practice soccer as long as you have a ball and a wall.
And some cones.
Yeah, you don't even need cones. You can just put sticks
true.
There.
You can just use your imagination too.
Or your little brother.
Or chalk, you know. So
what about handball and dodgeball? That's not a sport.
Dodgeball is not a sport.
If it was an Olympic sport, I would expect
duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
I've seen the dodgeball.
And there's your episode on dodgeball.
I love that movie. I need to see it again.
I've never spent much time watching soccer. I mean, it's just like the only time I really watch it is when it's in manga form.
Captain Tsubasa.
Yes.
Yeah, Tsubasa is wildly popular in Europe.
What bugs me about soccer is that the offside rule you can only determine after it happened, whereas in when you're watching ice hockey, the offside rule is just automatically. You're either onside or offside immediately.
Yeah, because in soccer, the offside line moves with the last defender.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, wow. But I guess, okay, so I guess that's why it's cheapest.
Well, yeah, it's the cheapest.
Not stupid. It's just that I can't appreciate it. Personally.
I can't appreciate it because the field is too big. And so scoring, you know, 0-0 is common. Well, not that common, but 0-0 happens.
On the high level is quite...
Yeah. Cool. And also because there's so much flopping. If I wanted to see really bad acting, I would watch, Kevin, name me a really bad show that has really bad acting.
A television show?
Yeah.
Two and a Half Men?
Sure. If I wanted to watch greasy men act really badly, I would watch Two and a Half Men.
Well, that was
what about
the
wrestling.
That's hey, you the, got that on the dot. They are pretty greasy on that show too. Well, just one of them, Mr. Sheen.
Well, that was the things about that people were complaining about European players coming into the NBA, would flop like crazy,
like Vlade Divac.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you'd just be like, "You touched me! Whoa!"
Yeah. All you need to do is move your elbow a little bit, and they'll be flying all the way across to the other side.
They're like acrobats, yeah. Oh, and so
do they fake it, or is that
real? Yeah,
like 90% of the time they fake it. The other 10% of the time, you actually go, "Oh, how did he live?" You know, like there was a part during Euro where it's like, and they're pulling out the staple gun to keep his head together. It's like, what? Because you know there was a head-to-head collision, and someone's scalp had split open. You know, had split, not fully open.
Oh, yeah. That is so gross.
They pull out a staple gun. It's like, tunk, chunk. Stop showing me this. That was when I actually respected soccer.
The other common American complaint about soccer is that since scoring is so uncommon, when they actually do score,
it's a parade.
They're
goal!
Breaking out everything.
Yeah, I know.
I have invented fire. Yes.
I went to a bar with my mom to watch the World Cup because Korea was in it at that point. And every time they had a goal, it was like everyone bought drinks for everyone. They go, oh my God. I'm like, wow, it's like New Year's here. Like, why are we?
Well, soccer is a big deal. I was talking to a friend who was from, I think he was from Iran, and the one time Iran actually qualified for the World Cup, it was declared a national holiday.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Because it was that big. It meant that much, you know?
But
I don't know if it was declared a national holiday, but it turned into a national holiday because there were parties in the streets.
But you know? But they didn't win, though. That's
no, it doesn't matter. They made it in.
But we are one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
Party!
And, I mean, when Japan makes it, they have huge celebrations, and then when they inevitably go 0-3 in group play,
yeah,
there's weeping in the streets.
Yeah, when I was teaching in Japan, I was asking kids what were their dream for the next year, and they said, well, my dream for the next year is Japan winning the World Cup. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
They can win the World Baseball Classic like nobody's business, but can't win the World Cup. They can't even win a game in the World Cup, really.
Wait, is this Japan or?
Japan.
They may have won one in the year that they hosted.
That's true.
Korea's the same way. They're good at like a lot of things, but they love soccer.
And by a lot of things, you mean shooting, taekwondo, archery, and,
StarCraft.
Baseball and StarCraft.
StarCraft, that's right.
Yeah, but you know, those are good things to be, you know, like
StarCraft. StarCraft is an Olympic sport. Start it now. Start the campaign.
But I don't know why, like, the most popular, sport is soccer when they totally suck at it.
It's the rest of the world. It's the world community.
But archery, come on. They're good at, they can shoot people really well.
Archery? I've told you this before.
I'm imagining soccer with handguns.
That's the next one.
Is that, who wins?
We'll call it American soccer.
Yeah. American made rules. It's Mega Man soccer.
And Korea would totally kick your ass in that. Oh, sorry.
Not if China can use their Shaolin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Shaolin soccer would be an awesome sport. I would love that. Put it in the Olympics. Shaolin soccer 2012.
I'm rooting for the evil team.
I'm rooting for the girls with mustaches team. All right, I think we went over 5 minutes for
I don't care. Keep, go as much as you need. Actually, I think that's probably the wrap-up on the soccer scrap episode.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I think it's the wrap-up on the entire episode. So if you want to contact us, it's always feedback at s-words-podcast.com. Give us suggestions, ideas, feedback.
Noodles delivered to our door.
Delicious noodles.
Yummy noodle.
Delicious noodles. You can't trust those roach coaches. Only trust what the fuh.
Dom, where can they find us online?
At twitter.com/s_words.
Or also at www.s-words-podcast.com. You can find our episodes, pictures of us. Not really pictures of us. But anyways.
I'm totally devil robot.
And Amy actually is Amy.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got all that stuff updated. You can also check out the usual scraps pile, the schedule. Everything is up there that you need to know. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. The link to the Facebook group is there. And for those of you that are following us on iTunes, don't forget that iTunes does have its own review system, as simple as just giving 5 stars or an entire description. We definitely will be taking a look at those, and I think we might be courting some sort of contest with that. So, if you know, get your incentive by getting in early, you know what I mean?
That's what she said.
Oh. Anyways, Dom, you want to lead us off on a quote sound off?
Philium H. Muffman.
Those of us who don't believe in science are under attack by forces we just don't understand.
And you know what? Cut it out with the fundraisers already. Who's getting all that cash? Refugees? Rainforests? Harp seals? If a harp seal needs money that badly, it should do what I do. I hold a little fundraiser every day. It's called Going to Work.
And that's the word.
That's WHATTHEFO.
No, it's PHO.
PHO. Oh my God.
You spelled what and pho wrong.
I'm just like waiting to go straight to Twitter and register this.
I know, let's do it. All right.